Praise God. Tonight we are on the book of Philippians. Just a very short book, four chapters. And let's go to God in prayer as we look into this book. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Your word continues unshackled. Your word continues, Lord, to abound in our lives. Even as the Apostle Paul says that when he is in prison, yet your word continue to work. The word that he has proclaimed, the word that he has announced, the word, O God, that he has ministered. We thank you, O God, that your word works in our lives. And Father, as we look into your word, we ask that the precious blood of Jesus Christ be applied upon our spirits and upon our souls and upon our bodies, so that nothing, O God, in our lives will hinder the word from coming into our lives. We thank you, O God, that the word can be made flesh. We ask, O God, that your word will be made flesh unto our lives. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation come forth upon our lives. That our eyes will be open so that we may know, O God, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of your power towards us, Lord, and the glory, O Lord, of the inheritance that you have for us, O God. We ask, O God, that we may see all the truths that you have laid in this precious book, in this word. Father, we announce the Lordship of Jesus Christ in this place. Oh Jesus, we proclaim you as Lord. We crown you Lord, oh God. And Father, we promise, oh Lord, that in all that you do, we give you all the glory and all the worship and honor. Thank you, Father God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This book of Philippians... was written when Paul was in Rome. In about Acts chapter 28, we read the story of how Paul finally reached Rome safely, although he was still a prisoner, and he was waiting for his trial before Caesar. And during that time, he wrote this book of Philippians, and he also wrote the book of Philemon about the same time. And so we place this book right at the end of the book of Acts. Paul had completed three missionary journeys. He has completed his years of imprisonment in Jerusalem. And he went by the island of Malta. And they were shipwrecked there. And finally they reached Rome. So this book is like a testimonial. This book is like something that he speaks out of the mature years of his life. Of course, in this book, it's not as theological as the book of Romans. But in this book, it seems that how this book came about was that the Philippians, the church of Philippi, who has been Paul's constant supporters during all his ministry, when they heard that Paul was in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus, who was one of their key leaders, to bring gifts and things to Paul. And so as Epaphroditus came and visited with the Apostle Paul and shared all the good things that has been happening, Paul was going to send Epaphroditus back. And as he sent him back, he wrote a letter back to the Philippians. And that letter that he wrote is this very book that we call the Book of Philippians. And in this book, you notice that he is filled with joy. Almost in every chapter, he speaks about the joy of the Lord filling his life. Indeed, in this book, he speaks about joy. But it is a man who speaks about joy, the joy of the Lord, while he was in prison. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, we know from verse 12, it says here, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." So apparently the palace guard refers here to the place in Rome, the Praetorian Guard. And Paul is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the gospel, and we know the whole story, how it came about in the book of Acts chapter 21 and 22 and 23, when he was in Jerusalem, how there was an uproar caused by the religious Jews, and he ended up in prison, and up to this time he was still in prison. The book of Philippians, as we read, seems to have a certain flow in what Paul is speaking about. It speaks mostly about the Christian life. This is one book that speaks about a Christian life and what a practical life is about. And in speaking about that, the key ingredient is joy. Joy. We have peace when our sins are forgiven, but we have joy only when we are doing God's will. Joy comes when we are in God's perfect will. Peace comes when our sins are forgiven. And we don't have any public or private sins in our life. All has been submitted under the blood of Jesus, and we are living our life free from sin. But yet there are many Christians who live their life free from sin in the moral sense, yet their lives are not in the perfect will of God. They are in the permissive will. They are doing good things, but not the things God wants them to do in their life. And somehow, that fullness of joy evades them. They have peace to a certain extent, but the joy that they need evades them. It's only when we know we are in the center of God's perfect will that joy can fill our life. Here the Apostle Paul speaks about the joy that he has. And in this book, we are going to study in a practical theme, although as we see in this book that there is a divine flow about Paul's life, and he shares about his life in chapter 1, and he shares about other lives that he has come to know, like Timothy and Epaphroditus. In chapter 3, he expresses his desire to press on into the things of God. In chapter 4 is his final exhortation. There is a key word in each chapter that we will follow along. In Philippians chapter 1, the key verse that we will take is from verse 21. A song that we all know. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To hold His hand and gently walk the way. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A song that I don't remember the church singing for a long, long time. We've been singing choruses and all these old songs that we used to sing in the youth services. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And this song is a key theme of the whole first chapter. In the first chapter, we see Paul talking about his life in Christ. And so that will be our theme in chapter 1, that Christ is the believer's life. His life is our life, and our life becomes His life. When we move to chapter 2, the theme now changes. From Christ's life being in us, it goes to the believer having the mind of Christ. The word mind begins to occur more frequently. He says here in Philippians chapter 2, and let's take the key verse for chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here we have the mind of Jesus coming into the believer. In chapter 1, we have the life, which is the Greek word Zoe, the life of Jesus in us. Now we have the mind of Jesus, phroneo. In the Greek there are different words for mind. Phroneo, the phroneo of Christ coming into our lives, having this mind. And then in chapter 3, we'll do a little outline first. The key verse is in chapter 3, verse 10. that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Having the life of Christ in chapter 1, having the mind of Christ in chapter 2, now in chapter 3, we see that we have Christ as our eternal goal. Our goal is to be like Him. Our goal is to know Him. Our goal is to be conformed to Him. And that is what God predestined us to be. In Romans 8, it says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, we see that Christ is the believer's goal. In chapter 4, the key verse memorized by many Christians in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here we see in chapter 4 that Christ is the believer's strength. Christ, our strength. And he continued to put his special strength into our lives. Strength to overcome, strength to perform, strength to do. There we have the four chapters, and we divide it in a theme. Chapter 1, Christ, our life. Chapter 2, Christ, our mind. Chapter 3, Christ, our goal. And chapter 4, Christ, our strength. So let's look first at chapter 1, Christ, our life. And we need to show how that in that this theme that we have chosen is not something that we just put into the scriptures. Usually, we can always analyze scriptures in different way, but actually, it's present in the way Paul expresses how Christ is alive. First of all, we see in chapter 1, verse 8, what happens when Christ is our life. He says in verse 8, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." And the word affection is the word splagna, which means the deepest feelings that he had. When Christ is our life, we will have the feelings of Christ. The word splagna speaks about a realm of emotions, a realm of feelings. We will begin to feel the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. His heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. How wonderful to feel Jesus Christ. I know that in the faith walk, we say don't go by feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. And feelings follow faith. But here, we are not talking about natural feelings. We are not talking about our own emotional feelings. We are talking about the affection of Jesus Christ. The deep feelings of Jesus that he had. Obviously, in verse 8, he's not talking about himself. He says here that he feels for them and he longs for them. He longs for them. With the splagna, in the Greek is the word splagna, of Jesus Christ. It's the word splagna of Jesus Christ. Somehow Jesus' feelings have absorbed itself into Paul's life. Is that a possibility? It is. It is possible to have the feelings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when the presence of God is strong and you yield yourself, you begin to feel the way God feels, what it is like to feel His heart.